Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Is wrestling.
Welcome to another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I am Cody Diener and I am a professional wrestler. I'm a professional wrestling producer. I am a professional traveling motivational speaker. I'm a professional dad. I have four amazing kids, a few of which you have met over the last few weeks on previous episodes and some of the commercials. I'm also I guess I'm a professional husband, whatever that means. I love being a husband to my beautiful, amazing wife who is working hard right now while I am here recording this intro, doing what she does and allowing me to jump into this new venture in my life as a wannabe professional podcaster. I say wannabe professional podcaster because you got to get paid to be a professional podcaster, and I'm not getting paid for this. I'm giving this to you for free each and every week. I'll be telling you later how maybe you can help me achieve my dream of being a professional podcaster by supporting the podcast, but I want to start by saying thank you. I want to say thank you to all of you who checked out episode 1 and 2 with my amazing first guest, the walking weapon, Josh Alexander, former Impact World Champion, longest reigning Impact World Champion in the history of that company. He was open. He was honest. He was dropping some amazing life lessons that I know I learned a lot from. And I know from the feedback that I've been getting, you learned a lot from too. Thank you to everyone for supporting me in this new venture and this new podcast. I know you likely have a lot of wrestling podcasts or other podcasts in your podcast feed. So I very much appreciate you separating me from the pack, putting me in your feed. If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast so you get it right into your feed each and every week. I know you're going to like this week's guest. And this is a worldwide audience. Listen to this right now. That's the other thank you I want to send out right now. Because, look, I don't have any illusions of grandeur. I know that I don't have the largest fan base in the world. There's lots of other wrestlers and entertainers and definitely podcasters and influencers, I guess if you want to consider me one of those, that have a much larger fan base than mine. But my fan base is loyal. I've said this to people for years. I feel like I have one of the most loyal fan bases in professional wrestling. So I want to say thank you to all of my fan base who are either watching this on YouTube or listening to this on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I very much appreciate it. If you're listening right now, can you just take a screenshot and put it up on social media? I'll retweet it or repost it wherever you put it. Tag me in it and let the world know that you love Wrestling as Life is Wrestling. And this is people all over the world. Half my listeners are in Canada. I'm a proud Canadian. I very much appreciate that. But looking at my stats, I have a whole bunch of the second largest listenerships in the United States. But the cool thing about stats is you learn things that you never knew before. So I just want to give a shout out quickly here to all my listeners in the UK, in Portugal, in Poland, Malaysia, Germany, France, Italy, New Zealand, Spain, the Philippines, Thailand, and South Africa. That's just a list of just some of the places where there's people listening to me right now here as I'm looking at my stats. This is amazing. This isn't something that I was really ready for or even aware of when I started podcasting. So this is worldwide. I appreciate all of my listeners downloading this, rating, reviewing, and subscribing to this and supporting me in this venture. If you want to know how to support me and help make my dreams come true to be a professional and get paid for this, the number one way you can support me is becoming a patron over at patreon.com/Cody Diener. This entire episode today is already up there. as well as next week's episode. The part two of this part one episode is already up on my Patreon, including an exclusive bonus story that nobody hears unless you're a patron. I got a bunch of different levels. You can just be a casual fan and just give me some money just to support me in this endeavor. Just throw me a couple bucks, or you can become a mark for the podcast at a level one, or you can jump to level two and be a smart mark, or you can jump to level three and be a Diener maniac crazy mark. And yes, drop me some support there, get exclusive content, all kinds of cool stuff there. I've been posting some behind the scenes stuff for my Impact Wrestling tapings I just uploaded the other day. Bonus stories, full content, both audio and video of every episode, some really cute things with my kids that I've been posting, and just want to say thank you to all the people that have been saying such kind things about my children that I have doing commercials for these episodes. I wasn't so certain about that I wanted to do that. I am a fairly private person, which I'll be talking about with my guests today, but I decided to open up a little bit and let the world be introduced to what I already know is true, and that is I have the best kids in the world, and they are so cute and lovely, and you guys get just a taste of that each and every week here on Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling, because this is a podcast that's not just a wrestling podcast, it's a life podcast, and I want to share my life with you. And so does my guest today. I'm not done shilling, though. Maybe I'll just let you wait till the middle of the episode when you hear me shilling more about my pro wrestling tees and my cameo. I'm just going to stop shilling now and just talk about my guest. How about I shill my guest and put them over and give them a beautiful, glowing intro before we hear from them? Today's guest is none other than Rosemary / Courtney Rush / I know her real name. I call her by that in our private life, but I won't be doing that here on this episode. But there's a lot of names to this person, but you know her as the super uber talented Rosemary / Courtney Rush on Impact Wrestling, or maybe you were introduced to her at Shimmer or Smash Wrestling or some other amazing independent wrestling promotion that you support. Today's guest is a former Shimmer Tag Team Champion. She's a former Knockouts TNA Champion. She is a former TNA Women's Tag Team Champion. She has visited the Undead Realm. She has formed an amazing alliance with some very successful professional wrestlers and other friends of mine in Decay. She is in a current very successful tag team with Havoc in the Death Dolls. She's an actress. I mean, the acting credits for three feature films, like the accomplishments of this guest go on and on. She is super talented, and I decided that I was going to have my friend Courtney Rush on for this week's episode. Switching gears from last week with Josh Alexander, we still haven't a talented guest, but somebody who's talented on a whole different level and has a whole different life experience that I think you guys are going to get something from. So there's my glowing intro. That's my hype. You guys are going to love this next episode and take something away from not just a wrestling podcast, the life podcast that is Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling with Cody Diener. So without further ado, let's go to my conversation with the uber talented Courtney Rush. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate this very much. I just gave you you didn't hear it, but I just gave you a very glowing introduction at the intro of this podcast.
Aww.
So glowing intro. So I don't have an agenda here at all. You are
nothing. We're winging it.
We're winging it. And I don't have an agenda other than I'm hoping that I can sit down with professional wrestlers that are also very good friends of mine and talk about our mutual love for professional wrestling, but how that connects to life.
Okay.
Because, you know, like you know, the whole idea of does art imitate life or does life imitate art, both happen simultaneously. And yes, that's very true for the professional wrestling business. And I made a list of people that I'm like, who can I talk to that is a very thoughtful person and thinks about life in a deep way, not just on a surface level, but also takes wrestling very seriously and has intentionally, from my vantage point, intentionally in their wrestling career, tried to intertwine the two, incorporate real life things into their wrestling, their character, their gimmick.
Yeah.
And I feel like you have done that amazingly. And just so the listeners probably maybe don't know this, some will, some won't, that you and I have known each other for a very long time.
Yeah.
We've been
almost
been
my entire career.
Yes. We've known each other, and I know how much you love wrestling. And even though I've known you for a long time, I just want to start by blowing some smoke at you here. That Impact Wrestling Diary episode that I watched of yours was absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
I learned some things that I didn't know. It went very deep and it was very personal. So I want to commend you for that, because
you wouldn't have been the only one. There's like, I'm like notorious for like not talking to people and like not sharing myself.
Sure.
Why I just create 10,000 characters so that I can share them instead of me.
Ah, yes. So,
yeah.
Which you talked about
in
the documentary, which totally makes sense. And I'm one of the things that I've actually struggled with even starting this podcast is, okay, I want to talk about life and wrestling, but I'm also a private person too.
Yes.
You know, I don't share pictures or names of my children on social media. Mm-mm. Some people are very open, but I'm pretty guarded with that, like with sharing my personal life. But this venture that I'm doing with this podcast is like the first time I'm actually going to start to share some things, but at the same time still be guarded a little bit.
Like, 100%. I'm nervous,
you know,
for you.
yeah. So, because you know what I mean, right? Like,
yeah. What do you mean you're doing a podcast, but you're not in character?
Yeah. So, you know, actually, I didn't intend to start with this question. But this is popping into my head. For me, I think maybe similar to you, maybe not. This is the question. I never felt like I really was comfortable doing promos and putting myself out there to the audience until I put a character, clearly defined character to what I was doing. Is that,
I was ready to be so shocked. I was like, you weren't comfortable doing promos?
Yeah.
Ever?
Well,
yes, 100%.
Yeah. When was your first promo? Do you even remember it? Like what the context was?
I mean, it had to be relatively early.
Were you doing
you know, like the, like indie shows, they'd always be like, quick, say a couple words on your phone.
Oh, like, okay, really? Like, yeah. Those are way harder than doing it in the ring.
Way harder.
No idea.
Way easier with a character if you can invent some kind of story. But like my first TNA promo was my very first TNA appearance, which was terrifying.
Yes, you touched on that in the documentary.
Yeah.
How, so like, what was going through your mind?
Don't fuck up.
Right?
What was going through my mind was, oh my God, they just put a live mic in my hands. I'm brand new here. Nobody knows who I am except for like EY and Steve. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get all of us fired if I fuck up.
That's the other thing that I think people don't realize is that it's not just the pressure that you put on yourself, but the pressure of the fact that when you have other people vouching for you, mm-hmm, and you feel like responsible for that.
Oh,
because 100%. Because I think this is true in life as it is in wrestling. You know, they say it's not just who you know, it's not just what you know, it's who you know.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, right? So in wrestling, you have people that help you along the way and vouch for you and put a word in for you. So then you're responsible for stepping up to that expectation and not wanting to mess up for that person, not just mm-hmm for yourself, but for that person, right?
Mm-hmm. So I'm 100%.
So those people for you were who? That was EY and Steve?
EY and Steve, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna disappoint them.
right.
It's not gonna happen.
So let's go backwards. When was the first time in your life that you realized that you had to have wrestling in your life? Was there a moment in time, whether it was in your childhood as a teenager, like when you just like, this has to be a part of my life forever?
I guess probably in the attitude era, I guess.
Okay.
Before that, like I was watching it since I was like five, like a long time. I can remember my dad and my grandpa and everyone like watched wrestling. But like, I would say during the attitude era, that's when I really started to be like, in like everyone got like super crazy hyper into it. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started to be like, I wonder if I could do it. Cause I was a rugby player at the time. So I was like very used to physical contact. Me and my cousins and my brother would like play wrestle all the time. Like I grew up playing football with 13 dude cousins and mm-hmm. like hockey and like all these sports. And I was like, and I was obsessed with wrestling, obsessed with it. And it was like me and my best friend in high school, we like started like fantasizing about training one day. And we actually like wrote like a fan fiction story that was like a bajillion chapters of like us being wrestlers.
Oh, that's amazing.
And, yeah, it was so long. We used to like pass the, like the even chapters were hers and the odd chapters were me. So we would like write like our like careers like as this like fiction story mm-hmm. and then like rotating chapters. And I was like, I mean, it's not good, but it was still like a good like structure for like, there's some stuff in there that I go back and laugh at, and then there's some stuff in there that I'm like, that was actually fairly accurate.
Yes. I listen to a lot of motivational podcasts because that's my other career, like as a motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've learned through, you know, listening to motivators and listen to motivational techniques is so many people share a story of that have become successful of writing down their goals when they were younger, like very specifically, and then they come to fruition later in life. Mm-hmm. You have to actually put the pen to paper and you actually put that out into the world, which like that's kind of what you did.
Yeah, it's I feel like that's like, honestly, without getting too foofy right off the hop.
Oh no, get like, foofy. Kind of get, like... get right foofy. That's what this is about. This is foofy. Yeah.
Like that's like the ways of the universe though. Like you put energy towards things, good or bad, and like the universe and like stuff gravitates towards what you're putting the energy towards. And like, I mean, I really do believe that. Like you it's, I mean, use whatever hot term you want, like manifesting or like putting out your energy or whatever, but it's like if you like put yourself in all your thought towards this thing that you want, then you're literally putting all your energy into doing what you have to get that. So it's like you're not just imagining it and summoning it and it's like a wish, like a genie in front of you, but you are putting all of your fiber of your being and your thought and your will and your drive towards this thing. So you are manifesting it and like you are driving energy towards it. The same thing happens with bad. Like if we dwell on the bad repeatedly and constantly, and like, and that's how especially like those of us who like suffer from like terrible depression, like when you dwell on that bad and you're putting all the bad energy into everything, and it's just manifesting bad energy and just feeds off itself.
Absolutely. One thing I always say to young people, and it's easier said than done, but I go deeper with them when needed, but I tell them to focus on the positive rather than the negative. And it's because of exactly what you're saying. Like if you focus on the negative too much, then you develop a victim mentality.
Yeah.
And right. And then
it becomes a habit.
Yeah. And it just kind of like it self-manifests over and over again. And you keep, because all as you focus on the negative thing, you're being drawn to it. Like I don't even know why this popped into my head, but like when you're learning to ride a motorcycle, they tell you you're going to drive towards what you're focusing on. So a lot of people will get into a motorcycle accident when they're going around a curve because they're not looking where they're supposed to be going.
Okay.
They're looking at that part of the curve where they could crash. And because they end up looking at where they're not supposed to go, they end up running off the road. Right. Just because that's where they're looking. Whereas if they just would have looked at, no, wait, I should be going over there and look that way, they would drive that way. Mm-hmm. Right. And life is like that. This is foo-foo-foo-foo-y stuff, but it's true. It's true, right?
But it
is. You got to look where you're going, but
yeah,
it's
all of the sports metaphors you got with the eye on the ball. Like if you're looking towards, you want the ball to go, like you are making that mm-hmm. actual physical direction for it.
Yes, like, yes. And
it's all the follow through. It's follow through.
It's all follow through. But it's, like I said, it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. right? Because people that have suffered from, you know, mental illness, and I have a lot of experience with that with family members. I grew up in a home where mental illness was rampant through my home. My father suffered from depression. So I grew up and saw that firsthand mm-hmm. on a daily basis.
You know exactly what it looks like.
Yes, I know what it looks like. So to say, hey, stop it, snap out of it, focus on the positive, that doesn't work.
No.
Right? You need support. You need people to come alongside you, to help you, to remind you, hey, stop looking at that. Look at this. Like, you need yes. support. And I think, especially from my experience in life and really in wrestling, is you need like a mentor. You need some, mm-hmm. you need a mentor, a friend to come alongside you. Yeah. Who did you have someone like that in your life when you started to train, when you start to train and all these like, maybe negative thoughts are going through your head, like, I don't know if I can do this. Is this, because that's what I experienced anyways in wrestling school, was like all these starting to get these negative things. Did you have someone?
Yeah. Yes. So like, I didn't really get that. I don't think I can do this. I felt like, oh wow, this is definitely harder than I expected, but I didn't have like, I don't have the ability to go, I don't think I can do this.
Good.
And I would be like, have to defy myself. Like, so like, and also I moved, right? Like, I was like, I grew up just outside of Winnipeg and I moved to Windsor to train. So that was like,
that's huge.
That was a 27-hour car drive. So it's not like I can just go home and pack up.
I have brought a very special person with me on the podcast here to help support me and shill some things to you right now. And she's going to tell you her name right now.
My name is River.
This is River. She is my daughter, and she is how old?
11.
She's 11. So my 11-year-old daughter is going to tell you that you should buy some things from me. Do you think, River, that they should buy a t-shirt from me?
Mm-hmm. Your teachers are awesome.
Oh, how awesome are they?
Really awesome.
Okay. We got to do a better job of selling them. We got to say something even cooler rather than just really awesome.
Well, they come in different sizes.
Okay.
And they're rolled up neatly. And they're really well made. And specially made by a person.
Wow. Okay, that was good. You convinced me. Okay, so one way people can buy that my stuff is they can go to prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener. I would also like people to buy a video from me. There's something called Cameo, so they can get a personal video message from me to them from cameo.com/CodyDiener. How does that sound?
That sounds really cool and special.
Who should get a video from me?
Maybe someone who would like to have a personal message from you.
Yes. What kind of message could I send them? Like a birthday message?
Maybe. Or just to tell them how special they are.
Oh, that would be very sweet. I could do that. I could just tell them how special they are. That's great. I would like people just to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Because when people do that, River, if they rate it like 5 stars... and they review it and leave a special message that says that I'm awesome and subscribe to it, then that helps my numbers, and then more people will listen to my show. And then maybe if more people listen to my show, then a company might contact me and say, hey, we want to give you money to advertise our product. So okay. So people should rate, review, and subscribe, right?
Yeah, totally.
Should they give me 1 star, 2 star, 3 star, 4 star, 5 stars?
5.
Why should they give me 5 stars?
Because 5 stars is the best, and you deserve to get 5 stars.
Oh, there you go. See, you heard it from River. I deserve this. If people want to advertise with me and they got a product they want to sell right now on this podcast, they can go to my email. Can you read my chicken scratch on that piece of paper? What does that say?
ads@codydiener.com.
There it is. That's my email. ads@codydiener.com. ads@codydiener.com. You contact me and we will sell a product for you. Maybe if a company
wants to advertise with me, I can bring you back on here and we can sell a product together. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
What kind of things could we sell? Like, what kind of company could contact me, do you think?
Maybe like a company that can take like really cool photos of you.
Oh, there you go. So a company's going to take photos of me and then they're going to pay to advertise things of me?
Yeah.
Wow. You got this carny stuff down. Do you know what a carny is?
No.
In wrestling, if you're a carny, then you know really how to work the system. And
cool.
Yeah. And I'm a proud carny. So I've raised a good carny in you because we're going to make people pay to sell stuff of me. So then I get double the money.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we can buy...
That's a good idea.
Then we can buy a hot tub.
Oh, but we already bought a hot tub.
Oh, don't tell people that. It's a secret.
Oops. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Okay. Can let's leave our listeners with a joke. Do you have any jokes? Maybe a knock knock joke? Give me a good one.
What do you get when you cross a bass with a rock?
What do you get when you cross a bass with a rock?
Yes.
I don't know. What do you get?
A rock bass.
What? I'm going to give you one of these.
Yay.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you, River. Can you say bye to all my listeners?
Bye, listeners.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. So it's like I sort of like determined to make this work. But yeah, there was definitely like the aforementioned best friend in high school who like we both wanted to be wrestlers. But she started another path, and she also kind of like messed up her back in rugby. So it was like wasn't really something she was like, I don't think I can train to go mm-hmm. and continue to do this. But you go kill it.
Yes.
And but she was there, yeah, and I still talk to her. Obviously we've grown apart because I haven't seen her regularly in 15-16 years, but you know, like I do still have her to talk to. And then the people, like you form a brotherhood along the way, right, of the, yes. the people that are always going to be there, whether you're on the same shows or haven't seen them. So like I would say at this point, like Allie Cherry Bomb is always mm-hmm. going to be like my girl. I got Casey Spinelli, Jessica Havoc, Alicia Edwards. Like there's a core group of a support group that I think everyone builds naturally to, like, you know, it could be something as trivial as this jack. Look what this jackass said about me on Twitter. And we all go, mm-hmm. ha, look at his hairline. Yeah. Or, yes. you know, something like, wow, I really feel like I should quit because this is just not working anymore. We're like, whoa, hold on. Take a step, you know. We all have that support system.
And this is like, that's real. I don't care. I always say you have to have a thick skin to be in professional wrestling. But when there's enough... like jackasses on Twitter that go off, like that affects you no matter how yeah. thick your skin is, right? Yeah. Like you get
can
enough
have a
of those
thick skin, but you can just be sick and tired of fucking hearing it sometimes, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm.
And man, do I empathize with the females mm-hmm. because the stuff that you guys get thrown at you is like exponentially more.
It's wild, right?
it's disgusting, really. Mm-hmm. What? So if anyone's listening to this right now and you're one of those people that's ever thrown shade at a female wrestler or said it something inappropriate, shame on you. Change your ways. It's not good.
No.
I found it interesting.
Some guys' minds with some texts that I've shown before. We're like, look at this shit.
I know, it's crazy, right? So I want to touch on something that you said earlier, kind of in passing, but I think it's so important that you moved away
yeah.
to go to wrestling school, like a 27-hour yeah, car ride. Yeah. Like, so first question, as you're taking that 27-hour car ride to accomplish this childhood dream of yours.
Yeah, this next chapter.
Yes. What is going through your mind?
I distinctly remember actively not thinking about it, because if I thought about it I might freak out, And for like the pat, like the year, I'd say before that, I didn't think about it other than in the context of this is what I'm doing.
Okay.
Because when I decided 2005, I decided, yeah, 2005 rejuvenated my love of wrestling because TNA kind of mm-hmm. was blowing up then. And like WWE was not representing what I loved anymore. And then I found TNA and just fell back in love with wrestling. So that kind of rehyped my like fantasy about training again.
Mm.
So I like at the time I was like working in, I was graduated from university. I had my film degree. I was working just in a restaurant that I actually like really enjoyed. It was a great job. And she, my boss was like wanting, cause we did catering and like, she was actually starting to get me like catering some events like by myself, which is kind of a big deal. And, she wanted to send me on like courses and like cake decorating courses. So it's like, so if I wasn't a wrestler, I'd probably be like doing high end restaurant stuff. Right? Cause I actually really enjoyed it. But, yeah, I ended up, being like, this isn't something that I couldn't come back to if this didn't pan out. So I just eventually made the decision of like, if I don't try it, I'm going to regret it. And that's just not something I want to be like looking back and going, wow, I wish I made the effort and like tried, because like, it's scary. Like it's scary to even like upheave your life and like haul everything out and try something, but I knew I would regret it, so I was like, don't think about it. So once I made the decision, I was living with that same best friend mm-hmm. At the time, and I talked to her about my plan, and she said, she was like, okay, I definitely can't do that, but I'm all power to you. And I was like, okay, in that case, I'm probably gonna move home to save money to like living with my parents. So my parents let me live back at home rent free in exchange for like, I basically did like maid service. Like I was a cook and cleaner. So I saved up my money in like about a year. And then I moved out, drove out to Windsor. My mom drove with me and then I flew her home from Windsor. So I had my car out there. And then, yeah, just, I honestly, like I actively remember not thinking about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it.
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of motivational tactic. That was actually going to be one of my questions, was like, if you have any like motivational tactics that have got you through kind of hardships.
Yeah,
that's like, an interesting one.
We're like, doing this.
Like, yeah, we're doing this.
There's not an option.
Yeah. Well, you kind of answered one of the other questions I was going to ask, is I have found there's two types of kind of successful people in wrestling, or two schools of thought about it. I've talked to some people that are like, I intentionally made sure I didn't have a safety net or a backup plan.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, if I don't succeed in wrestling, nothing else can happen. Like, like our mutual friend, EY, Eric Young, that was him. Eric Young did not have a backup plan. He's like, mm-hmm. I have to succeed, or I guess I'm homeless. Like he didn't have a backup plan, right?
Yeah.
You're
like very set.
I did not have that. I was the opposite. I was like, nope, I got a degree. I had a very successful teaching job that I could do if the wrestling thing never worked out.
Yeah.
I created a safety net for myself. And in some ways I wonder, I do these mental gymnastics, like, because it's taking me a very long time to get to where I am in wrestling. I had so many years kind of in a valley.
Yeah. Do you think you're holding yourself back? Is that what you're wondering?
That's kind of what I do the mental gymnastics with. Like, if I wouldn't have had a safety net for myself, would I have gone harder at it? You know, and
possibly there's another direction to come at that, though, because if you didn't have the safety net, would you have had as much fun as you have in wrestling? Because now it wasn't something that you could afford to lose. Like,
I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah, because your stuff was always so much fun and so easy and like so like, I don't even know how to describe it. If people haven't seen like classic like Mullet dinner, like look at the kids on an indie show in Collingwood, like I don't even know how to describe it. But like, do you think you have that kind of like absolute joy and like energy if this is your job and your one thing that you have to rely on? Like,
you you kind of just blew my mind with that. I have never thought of it that way, because I've always said wrestling is supposed to be fun, mm-hmm. and I've had no problem making it fun, and it has been something that has given me nothing but pure joy in my life. And I see other people where it ends up being the opposite for them. They mm-hmm. base their entire happiness of their life and their joy on their success in wrestling. And they're setting them, quote unquote success. Yeah. They are, and they're setting themselves up for failure, because mm-hmm. there's going to be valleys, and some people never get out of that valley to climb the mountain, because they've based their happiness on their success. And then when they're mm-hmm. not succeeding, they just become completely miserable. And then they see themselves
by their failure.
Yes. And then mm-hmm. they never succeed, and they never, all the things that wrestling is supposed to be, fun and joyful, both for you and the audience, disappears for the people like that. And I never even considered and thought, like, what is it about me that makes that possible? Mm-hmm. And I think you just nailed it.
Yeah.
In the sense that I didn't have that stress of I have to succeed at this or I'm going to be miserable, because I had all these other things in my life that either could be seen as a safety net, or also, like you're saying, other things in my life that bring me joy as well.
Yeah.
You know, and I could just do, but I've
imagine never... like gauging your rest, like you have a wrestling show, like a whole wrestling day, and everything that you love about a wrestling day. And like, imagine your contingency on enjoying your evening is dependent on whether you made your base number on the merch table or not.
Right. Yes. I know. It's got to be gravy. It's got to be the icing on the cake. It's got to be the cherry on top. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, not only was this night super fun, but I also did really good at the merch.
Yeah, also my bag's way lighter. This is great. Yes.
And here's the interesting thing about that. If your mindset is to be just positive and have fun, then people are watching you have fun, mm-hmm. and then that makes them come to your table, and then you mm-hmm. make more money. So it's exactly what we talked about earlier. Like, when you focus on the positive, and it draws that to you.
100%.
So people often call me when I do indie shows, which is completely different than the character that I'm on television. Oh, yeah. For those people that listeners have never seen me kind of work those shows that you're talking about, where you know you're in the middle of nowhere. It's just kids and families.
Yeah.
Like people have called me many times the Pied Piper, because I literally have kids swarm me and follow me around the ring.
It's just parading around the venue with these children just screaming after you. And I'm like,
and I love it, but I think it's not like a trick of the trade where it's like you're duping them, and like you have this like secret like carny formula to get them to do that. Like,
you're not telling them they're having fun and they're not. They are.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So when it's not something that's, I don't think is teachable, because I've had people like, what do you do to make that happen? It's like, dude, I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
Like, whatever feeling you project in the ring, you're going to get back from the people. Mm-hmm. And if you're putting out this positive, fun vibe, people are drawn to that.
100%.
And that's wrestling is life is wrestling, because that's exactly what I'm, the essence of why I'm even wanting to do this podcast and talk to people like you, because to me, just that concept of put this feeling out there in the ring and you'll get that back from the people. Mm-hmm. That's true in the wrestling ring, but that's true in life.
That's true. Yeah. And absolutely. And you'll hear it over and over from any stage performer, like, especially mm-hmm. musicians will say, like, leave it all out there on the stage. Right. Like mm-hmm. everything that you give to them, that's the bar of what they can give back. You know what I mean? Like, if you're holding yourself back on the stage and you're not giving yourself fully to the performance, and to the audience, then why should they give their full love back?
Yes. Yes. How, not how, when did that really happen for you and you felt comfortable and or came to that realization? It's like, okay, now I can give it my all to these people and get back what I want. When did that start happening for you, do you think?
When I started, I guess, doing what could be considered my first gimmick, which was dancing at Shimmer. Because about 2014-ish, American Joshi was, like, very, very prevalent and like, all, like, everyone had, like, do everything and, like, all the, like, crazy spot matches. And I was like, one, I don't want to.
Yes. Yes.
And two, then I'd just be doing what everyone else is doing.
Okay.
And someone who gave me the best advice at that time, and still some of the best advice I've ever received in my career, was Nikki Rocks, who was Roxy Laveau on TNA, if people don't remember. But she's an amazing veteran worker out of Boston. She's been around for so long, a lot of the girls look up to her. And she told me in her last Shimmer show right before she got signed, and she gave me my first win in Shimmer, and she took me aside after and she said, keep doing what you're doing. Everyone else is doing that. Keep doing what you're doing. Be different. Go the other direction. And I said, okay, Nikki, I will do that. So then I started challenging people to dance offs at the start of the match. And then it was great. It was so much fun.
Yes.
We started this whole story. It was like really one of the first storyline angles in Shimmer was between me and Sarah Del Rey, or like me trying to impress her and be her tag partner. And like trying to like woo her to like prove that I could be her tag partner. And then that's where I was like fine with promos before that, but that's when I really started to love doing promos as a character. And like, yeah, that's where I fell in love with that. So I mean, that's where it really started working. Like the crowd was feeding off of like what I was doing. Cause I was like lovable, I guess.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh man. I have so many questions from you, or so many comments and questions about what you just said. That was amazing. Because I didn't know any of that stuff you just told me. That's going to do it for this week. I told you guys, did I not tell you? What an amazing guest. What a lovely individual my friend Courtney Rush / Rosemary is. Wasn't she awesome? If you liked today's episode, you are going to love the second part of our conversation, which I will bring to you next week on Wrestling is Life is Wrestling. But if you cannot wait until next week, you want to hear it now. It's simple. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/CodyDiener, become a patron at the Smart Mark level, and you will get next week's episode right now. Early and ad-free. No, I'm wrong. You don't even have to be a smart mark. You can just be an average mark. You can just be a mark for the podcast. It's level one, and you will get early and ad-free the episode that's I've recorded with Courtney Rush. You get it right now. Go over to patreon.com/CodyDiener and you can get access to that. If you're a smart mark, then that's you. You're smarter than just the average mark because you're a smart mark, and you get a bonus story, which is a really cool story that I can relate to. It was Rosemary's very first day at TNA and the crazy travel and situation that occurred with her showing up for day number one at TNA, not knowing what to expect, not knowing many people. What was that like? What was going through her mind? How did that play out? You want to hear that exclusive story? Go over to patreon.com/CodyDiener and you can find out right now. Other ways you can support the podcast is going to prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener. You can get a cameo from me at cameo.com/CodyDiener. Thank you to everyone who has gotten a cameo over the last number of weeks. I appreciate you very, very much. Hopefully you enjoyed my personal cameos to you. If you're a business and you want to advertise on this show, go to CodyDiener.com/podcast and fill out the form, or just drop me an email at ads@CodyDiener.com. That's ads@CodyDiener.com. Go over to my YouTube page. Subscribe to my page. I'm trying to up my subscription numbers on there. That's youtube.com/@CodyDienerPodcast. That's @CodyDienerPodcast on YouTube. take a screenshot right now on your phone. If you're listening to this, if you're driving, wait till you stop driving and then pull over. Take a screenshot of your screen right now and send it to me on my socials on Twitter or Instagram at Cody Diener. Tag me in it and I will share it with my followers. I appreciate you guys so, so very much. If you want to book me on a show, I want to share my love of independent wrestling with you. Just drop me an email, bookcody@codydiener.com. You've heard me talk about it, you know, during my conversations and at the intros and stuff where I say that I'm a professional motivational speaker. I've been doing that for a number of years, going into schools and sharing life lessons. It's one of the reasons I even decided to start this podcast is I share with young people the life lessons that I've learned through my journey of accomplishing my dream of being a professional wrestler. And I share that journey with students, and I travel all across Canada and the United States going into schools and youth groups and sharing my story and motivating kids. If that is something that would interest you, if you know somebody who might want to bring me to their school this upcoming school year, then go to codydiener.com and you can get more information on how to book me for that. That'll actually redirect you to my professional speaking page, which is actually chrisgrayspeaks.com, but you can get redirected at that. It's just easier to tell you codydiener.com, which is where everything else is, and you will find that. That's enough about me. Let me shill the amazing ways that you can support Courtney Rush. She is also an entrepreneur who has started another business, DemonXBunny.com, for some wicked awesome merch. Follow Rosemary / Courtney Rush on Twitter and Instagram. Her socials are at We Are Rosemary, or you can follow Courtney Rush at RushelMania, RushelMania, both on Twitter and Instagram. Another cool thing, are you one of those people that love Twitch? I'm not up on the Twitch stuff. Maybe I'll jump into it someday. I don't know what it's all about, but I know the people that go on there and they play video games, they love it. They love going on Twitch, and they have found a lovely supportive community online through their Twitch and video game playing. And I know that Courtney is one of those people. There is the Fire Pro Wrestling World Weekly eFed with Drew. That's on Twitch, and Courtney's on there as well. That's twitch.tv/AndyEPlays, AndyEPlays. That's over on Twitch. So check that out as well. That brings us to the end of episode 3 of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I know I say this both in my interviews and on social media. I've said this so many times, but I just want to say it again. I didn't know what to expect when I started this podcast, and I'd be talking to my friends and successful professional wrestlers. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to really get what I envisioned out of this podcast, a way to talk about my love of wrestling, but how I know that it teaches people lessons about their life, and that wrestling fans or non-wrestling fans, just anybody, can take something away from the journeys of the wrestlers that I have met in my life. And I think this week's episode proves to me that I think I'm on the right track. I have a good idea here, because each and every week I am getting lessons from the people that I'm talking to, and from the feedback that I'm getting from you guys, I know you're getting a lot out of it too. So thank you for listening to this week. Come back next week for some more amazing life lessons with part 2 of my conversation with Courtney Rush. I can't say it enough. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week on Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with me, Cody Diener.
Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life is wrestling.